Track 15, A Pleading to Judas and the Last Days Before the Passion.
Mary is with the women disciples who are discussing the concepts of justice and forgiveness. And Susanna says, Mary wants nothing but forgiveness, even if she is in no need of forgiveness. Is that right, Mary? And Mary replies, I should like nothing but forgiveness, yes, only that. To be bad must be a dreadful suffering by itself. And she sighs in saying so. Martha says, Would you forgive everybody, really everybody? Would it be fair to do so? There are people who are obstinate in wickedness and spoil all forgiveness by deriding it as weakness. Then Mary says, I should forgive. As far as I am concerned, I should forgive. Not out of stupidity, but because I see every soul as a more or less good baby, as a son. A mother always forgives, even if she says justice exacts a just punishment. Oh, if a mother could die to generate a new good heart for her wicked son, do you think that she would not do that? But that is not possible. There are hearts that reject all help. And I think that pity has to forgive them as well, because the burden on their hearts is already a very heavy one, their sins and God's severity. Oh, let us forgive guilty people, and would to God that our absolute forgiveness could be accepted to diminish their debt. And Mary of Alphaeus, moaning, says, But why do you always weep, Mary, even now that your son had an hour of joy? And Mary says, His joy was not complete because a culprit did not repent. Jesus is completely happy when he can redeem. Jesus is trying to convince Judas Iscariot that he has his free will to choose good instead of evil, but he needs to be more humble and ask God for help. And Judas says, I believe you, and I will try to please you, but I want to do it by myself. I went wrong by myself, and by myself I must recover from evil. Then Jesus says, God only can do by himself. Your thought is a thought of pride. In pride there is still Satan. Be humble, Judas. Grasp this hand that is offered to you in a friendly way. Take shelter in this heart that opens to protect you. Here with me, Satan can do you no harm. I have tried to be with you. I have descended lower and lower, says Judas. It is useless. And Jesus says, Do not say that. Do not say that. React against discouragement. God can do everything. Cling to God. Judas, Judas. Be quiet, lest the others hear you. And you are worried about the others, but not about your spirit? Poor Judas. Jesus then says to his disciple, I will not sleep tonight. I will pray and wait for you. May God speak to your heart. Listen to him. I will remain here where I am now to pray until dawn. Remember that. Judas does not reply to him, and while the others whom Jesus is with go away, Jesus holds back his mother, saying to her, "I am staying to pray for Judas, mother. Will you help me too?" "Yes, I will, son. Is his good will reviving?" "No, mother. But we must act as if, heaven can do everything, mother." "Yes," says Mary, "and I can still delude myself. But you cannot, son. You know, my holy son. But I will always imitate you. Go peacefully, my darling, even when you are no longer able to speak to him because he avoids you. I will try to bring him back to you. And even if the Most Holy Father will only listen to my grief, will you let me stay with you, Jesus? We will pray together." "Yes, stay with me, mother." They sit on their sacks under the olive trees. The stars move slowly in the firmament, as bright as queens, now that the moon has set and it no longer outshines them. Then a cock breaks the calm air with its sharp crowing. There is a change in the sky and the awakening of light. It is dawn, but Judas has not come. Jesus looks at his mother, as white as a lily, against the dark olive tree, and he says to her, "We have prayed, mother. God will make use of our prayer." "Yes, son, you are as white as death." "You are pale too, mother. Great is your fatigue." "Great is my sorrow," says Mary, "because of your sorrow." Jesus calls together all his women disciples, and after speaking to them at great length, he says, "Now and always, be like daughters to my mother. She will guide you in everything. She can guide girls as well as widows, wives as well as mothers, as she has become aware of all the consequences of every condition, through her own experience as well as through supernatural wisdom. Love one another and love me in Mary. You will never fail, because she is the tree of life, the living ark of God, and the form of God, in whom wisdom made its seat and grace became flesh." Jesus is seeking consolation and comfort from his trusted friend Lazarus. But Lazarus is shaken and distressed when Jesus says he is to be crucified. Jesus lays a hand on Lazarus's shoulders, shaken by sobs, and he says, "Am I, who are about to die, to comfort you who are alive? My friend, I am in need of strength and help, and I am asking them of you. I have only you who can give them to me. It is better if the others do not know, because if they knew, blood would be shed. And I do not want lambs to become wolves, not even for the sake of the innocent. My mother, oh, how heart-rending it is to speak of her. Mother is already so distressed, and she is dying, exhausted. She has been dying for 33 years, and she is now one big sore, like the victim of an atrocious torture. I swear to you that there has been a struggle between my mind and my heart, between love and reason, to decide whether to send her away, to send her back to her house, where she always dreams of the love that made her mother, and where she enjoys the savour of love's kiss of fire. But I cannot, no, I cannot do that." Poor Jesus, laden with the sins of the world, needs consolation. and my mother will give it to me. And the even poorer world needs two victims, because man sinned with woman, and the woman must redeem as the man redeems. But until the hour is struck, I will smile at my mother reassuringly. She trembles, I know. She perceives that the torture is approaching, I know. And she repels it through natural disgust and holy love, as I repel death, because I am a living being who must die. But it would be dreadful if she knew that in 5 days' time she would die before that hour. And I want her to be alive to get strength from her lips as I received life from her womb. God wants her to be on my Calvary, to mix the water of her virginal tears with the wine of my divine blood, and to celebrate the first Mass. Do you know what Mass will be? You do not know. You cannot know. It will be my death applied forever to the living or suffering mankind. Do not weep, Lazarus. She is strong. She does not weep. She has wept throughout her life of a mother. She no longer weeps. She has crucified her smile on her face. I ask you to imitate my mother. I could no longer keep my secret all to myself. I looked around, seeking a sincere, reliable friend, and I met your loyal eyes. I said, I will confide it to Lazarus. Save yourself, Master, save yourself. I can let you escape. Lazarus, I ran away before because it was not my hour. Now it is the hour, and I am staying. In that case, I am coming with you. I will not leave you. No, you will stay here, says Jesus. But let your sisters come, for my mother. They are strong and active, and mother will be agonizing, bent over my dead body. John is not sufficient. John is love, but he is still immature. Oh, he will mature and become a man in the torture of the oncoming days. But the woman needs women for her dreadful wounds. Will you let me have them? I will give you everything. I have always given you everything with joy, and I only regretted that you wanted so little. It is now Palm Sunday. Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, and he says to his apostles, There is Zion over there. Go and get the donkey and the colt. Say to the man, Rabbi Jesus needs them. And tell my mother that I'm about to arrive. She is up there on that slope with the Marys waiting for me. It is my human triumph. Let it be her triumph. Always joined together. Oh, joined. And who has the heart of a hyena that with his claw tears the heart of a mother's heart, the mother of me, her son? A man? No. Who then? A demon. But can a demon offend the victress? He must touch her to offend her. And Satan cannot bear the virginal light of the rose of God. So, whom do you say it is? Are you not speaking? Then I will tell you. The most cunning demon has blended with the most corrupt man, and like the poison enclosed in the teeth of an asp, the demon is enclosed in him who can approach the woman and thus bite her treacherously. Cursed be the hybrid monster that is Satan and is man. Shall I curse it? No, that is not the word of a redeemer. Then I say to the soul of this hybrid monster what I said to Jerusalem, the monstrous city of God and of Satan. I said, oh, if in this hour still granted to you, you could come to the Saviour. There is no love greater than mine, neither is there a greater power. Also my Father agrees if I say, I want, and I can speak but compassionate words for those who have fallen and stretched their arms towards me from their abyss. O soul of the greatest sinner, your Saviour, on the threshold of death, bends over your abyss and invites you to take his hand. My death will not be avoided, but you would be saved, you whom I still love, and the soul of your friend would not be horrified at the thought that he is aware of the horror of death and of such death through the deed of his friend. Jesus is silent, exhausted. The apostles whisper to one another, and they ask, but who is he speaking of? Who is it? And Judas Iscariot, lying shamelessly, says, it is certainly one of the false Pharisees. Early in Jesus' public life, he cures a 16-year-old girl, Analia, from tuberculosis. A short time later, in an extraordinary encounter of love for Jesus, she asks not to be present at his death. Jesus blesses her, then calls his mother and says, Mother, here is a little daughter. She is all yours. She is now happy. But immerse her in your purity every time we go to the holy city, that she may become a snow of celestial petals spread on the throne of the Lamb. And Jesus goes back to his disciples while Mary caresses the girl and stays with her. That was some time ago. It is now early on the Monday morning of the week of Jesus' Passion, the day after Palm Sunday. Mary is staying in a house in Jerusalem owned by Lazarus. Jesus goes to the house and to Mary's room. He knocks lightly, such a light knock that only one wide awake can hear it. It is I, Mother. Open the door. The door is opened at once. Only the moonlight illuminates the quiet room and spreads its rays on an untouched bed. Were you not sleeping yet? It is late. I was praying, says Mary. Come, son, sit here where I was. And she points at the chair near the window. And Jesus says, I cannot stop. I have come to get you and go to Eliza at Ophel. Analia is dead. Did you not know? No. When, Jesus? After I passed. After you passed? So you were the liberating angel for her. The earth was such a prison for her. Happy girl. I wish I was in her place. Did she die of a natural death? I mean, not by a misfortune. And Jesus says, she died of the joy of loving. I was told when I was already on the slope of the temple, come with me, Mother, to comfort a mother who held in her arms her daughter who died of supernatural joy. Jesus and Mary go to Analia's house. The door is opened, showing the worn-out face of Eliza, who is holding on with difficulty at the doorpost. And when Mary, going in, stretches her arms towards her, she collapses on Mary's breast, sobbing faintly, like one who has wept so much as to have no tears or voice left. Jesus closes the door patiently, waiting for his mother to soothe so much grief. The tears of Eliza seem to be endless. She speaks to Mary, sobbing hoarsely. A mother is speaking to the mother. Jesus, standing against a wall, is silent. After some time with Mary, a still unconsolable Eliza tells Jesus, "In my grief I cannot set my mind at rest, but you, who gave life back to the dead and health to the dying, give peace to the heart of a mother torn by grief." "Let it be so, woman," says Jesus, "peace to you." He imposes his hands, blessing her and praying silently over her. Mary has also knelt down beside Eliza, embracing her with her arm. "Goodbye, Eliza, I am going," says Jesus. "Shall we not meet again, Lord? I shall not leave my house for many days, and you will be going away after the Passover festivities. You are still part of my daughter somehow, because Analia lived in you and for you." She weeps more calmly, but how much she weeps. Jesus looks at her. He caresses her grey-haired head, and he says to her, "You will see me again." "When?" "In 8 nights' time, as from tonight." "And will you comfort me again? Will you bless me to give me strength?" "My heart will bless you with all the fullness of my love for those who love me. Come, Mother." "Son, if you will allow me, I should like to remain a little longer with this mother. Sorrow is a billow that comes back again after he who gives peace has gone away. I will come back at the first hour. I am not afraid to come by myself, you know that. And you know that I would pass through a whole enemy army to console a brother of mine to God." "As you wish," says Jesus. "I am going. God be with you." He goes out noiselessly, closing the door of the room and that of the house. In 8 days' time, as promised, and after his resurrection, Jesus does indeed visit Eliza to give her comfort. He says to her, "Raise your head, Eliza, and see who is standing in front of you." The woman raises her white-haired head. She rubs her eyes. She opens her mouth to utter a cry that wants to come up, but is stifled in her throat by amazement. "It is I, the Lord. Touch my hand. Kiss it. You sacrificed your daughter to me. You deserve it. And on this hand, find again the spiritual kiss of your child. She is in heaven. She is blessed."